We present Kenneth Williams, Clement Freud, Peter Jones, and June Whitfield in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Hello and welcome to Just a Minute. And once again, I'm going to ask our four panelists to talk, if they can, on the subject that I will give them for just a minute, without hesitating, without repeating themselves, and without deviating from the subject on the card. And of course, according to how well they do that, they will gain those vital points to succeed over their fellows. And we'll begin the show with Kenneth Williams. And Kenneth, what a lovely title to begin the show. What makes me burst with pride? Can you burst forth on that one in the game and tell us anything about it in the next 60 seconds, starting now?
It would undoubtedly be anything which evokes those feelings of patriotism which send the adrenaline whizzing around my circulazione like nothing else possibly could. To think of the Queen mounted reviewing the troops, the guards on parade, and the buttons all shining, the braid, the plumage, and those incredible mounted guardsmen.
And Clement,
you see,
Freud,
they thought I'd say it twice. I hadn't. I said guard first and guardsmen. Caught him, didn't I? Yes.
Yes, but as Clement Freud has pressed his buzzer, we must hear what his challenge
Repetition
is.
Repetition of mounted.
Sometimes it's not a good idea to let them on to the fact that you didn't repeat something, Kenneth, because he might think of something else. He's quite shrewd, you know. So it was a correct challenge. You did repeat Mounted. So Clement Freud gets a point for that and takes over the subject with 28 seconds for what makes me burst with pride, starting now.
What makes me burst with pride is seeing my family juggle. They are, as you probably know, called the
Kenneth Williams, a challenge.
Deviation, we don't know at all.
I don't know about his family juggling, and nobody here does either, do you?
We do have to find ways to keep going in just a minute, and that's one of Clement Freud's particular ploys, and he wasn't actually deviating from the subject, so he keeps it a point for an incorrect challenge, and there are 22 seconds left, starting now.
The performing Freud's dumbbells, balls, bottles all go up in the air, and as often as not are caught on the way down. Dominic, Matthew, Nicola, Rupert, Arkwright.
June Whitfield is challenged.
Did I?
You pressed your...
Good evening.
I'm sorry about that.
Hello.
June Whitfield has never played Just a Minute before. Now she's challenged and she wished she hadn't.
Well, it was a slight error because I did say to Peter Jones that I was a little nervous before we started, and he squeezed my hand and the buzzer was in.
And it's rather embarrassing. Well, I pressed her buzzer. You see, an error.
Well, if I know Clement Freud can send a lot of people to sleep, but if you could possibly keep your little party games to yourself and
not...
Not the party game. It's rather embarrassing. This is broadcast to the nation, you know. I hope...
Not only this nation, other nations beyond the seas
well,
as well.
Well, don't rub it in.
Don't worry. We'll keep our hands on the table from now on, shall we?
Yes, all right.
Well, if you buzz and it's an incorrect challenge, the person speaking gets another point because you've interrupted.
Anyway, I'd like the challenge as well.
Oh, yes. What's yours?
Well, he hesitated before he said Arkwright for a very good reason.
What was that?
Well, I don't know. I think you should ask his wife.
Because he hasn't got a son called Arkwright. So, June, that was your challenge, wasn't it?
Not living at the same address as the others, anyway.
So, June Whitfield, you were very, very quick there. I must congratulate you. And not only quick on the buzzer, but on your challenge as well. So I'll tell you that there are 9 seconds left. You get a point, of course, for a correct challenge. And you take over the subject now of what makes me burst with pride, starting now.
The thing that makes me burst with pride more than anything is really when Peter Jones takes my hand underneath the table and presses my buzzer.
And Peter Jones has challenged.
I don't want this to leak out. Actually, what makes me burst with pride is the knowledge that I've more natural humility and modesty than anybody else in the panel.
Well, 4 people appreciated that, Jeff. What is your challenge to June's remarks?
I wouldn't challenge June Whitfield.
You just have challenged her. And there's 1 second to go. You've just challenged her. What is your challenge?
It's a...
I thought it was a nothing. June, you have another point for an incorrect challenge, and you have 1 second to continue with the subject of what makes me burst with pride, starting now.
My daughter...
Ian Messiter, whose usual, has brought his whistle, and he blows it whenever 60 seconds is up. And June Whitfield, who's never played the game before, has come on the very first round, has got 3 points, and taken the lead. And that's an incredible achievement in this particular game.
That's my lot, I should think.
Peter Jones, will you begin the next round? The subject is critics. Will you tell us something about those in just a minute, starting now?
Well, I think the best critics are dead. And I wish there were more of them, actually. I wish the others were better. Lee Hunt and William Hazlitt and, in later years, Bernard Shaw and others. Well, I think what a pity it is that more of them don't...
Well, I've got hesitation.
Yeah, I think you're definitely right, yes. The subject is critics, Kenneth. You have a point for that challenge, and there are 38 seconds left, starting now.
Well, I think it was the remarkable Brendan Behan that said they're like the eunuchs in the harem. They see it done every night, and they know how it should be done, but they can't do it themselves.
Probably it's the last word one can say on that subject. I've always loathed the pack of them, a load of rubbish. I've never heard anything like it. The muck you hear from, the muck you read from them, I mean, it really does.
June Whitfield has challenged.
Was there a repetition of muck?
There was a lot too much muck. You're quite right. And he repeated muck, and you got in there very well. There are 13 seconds on the subject of critics. June, with you, starting now.
Critics are a necessary...
And Clement Freud challenged.
Deviation.
Why?
She started too quickly for a new one.
Surprisingly quickly for a guess, but she didn't start too quickly for the game. I had said now. So you still have the subject of critics. And there are 10 seconds starting now.
When I read my daily paper and I try to see what was on the television the night before, it tells me...
Well, I know that June Whitfield was a little nervous before she started against these three battling braves of the Just a Minute game, and she should have a lot of confidence now because she's got a commanding lead at the end of that round, having not only got points in the round, but won for speaking as the whistle went. June, would you like to begin the next round? And the subject is phobias. We hope we've laid one of those for you, having now gotten to the lead in just a minute, and would you talk on the subject starting now?
Phobia, I believe, comes from the Greek. It's, in a wide sense of the word, it means an unnatural fear of natural things. There are possibly about 120 known phobias. I myself suffer from one, which is mainly concerned with having to speak for up to a minute on some subject that I know very little about without deviation, hesitation, punctuation, or a lot of other kind of ations and one-ition.
Kenneth Williams, this challenge.
A deviation, she's doing it so superbly that to say that she doesn't know how to do it is ludicrous.
Very clever and ingenious challenge, Kenneth, so we give it to you and a point, of course, and there are 22 seconds for phobias starting...
Oh, no, I meant... That was a gag. I meant it was a gag.
It was a very funny joke, but it's also a very good challenge, I think. Wouldn't you agree, audience?
Yes!
Very sound. 22 seconds for you to talk on phobias starting now.
Mine's people walking behind me. I just can't stand it, and so I stand looking... Oh, I said stand twice.
Clement Freud challenge.
Yes.
And I think he's just boasting that people follow him. I don't think they do.
Clement, there are 17 seconds on phobias starting now.
I think when it comes to claustro and agora, there is not a great deal to choose.
Peter Jones.
There's a tremendous lot to choose.
Yes, I think you're right. There are tremendous lot to choose. That is also as good a challenge as Kenneth, so we give it to you. 10.5 on phobias with you, Peter, starting now.
These morbid fears can sometimes be cured by experiencing the act which you're afraid of. For instance, if you worry about falling in front of a train... And then you do fall in front of one, the fear is dispelled.
I was going to ask you to finish.
Ah, but yes.
You
did. Thank you very much.
You're equally Kenneth Williams in third place, one behind Clement Freud, and you're all, and Clement is five behind June Whitfield. Mm. Clement, will you begin the next round, the subject paper tearing? Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Paper tearing is one of the things the performing Freuds did particularly well, and Arkwright, above all others, excelled in. He would get a piece of paper and not only tear it crossways, but...
Peter Jones's challenge.
We've already established that Arkwright is not his son.
I didn't say he was.
What?
He's a member of the performing Freuds team.
Oh, I see. Yes. Well, I mean... What he said about him in the previous round is the only knowledge I or anybody else has of Arkwright.
He could still be one of the performing Freuds, so I don't think he was technically deviating from the subject on the card. And Clement, you keep it with 48 seconds left, starting now.
Sir Henry Colville, who unfortunately met his death jousting on a motorbike, was obviously, as many of you will not know...
Kenneth Williams.
Deviation, he didn't meet his death jousting on any motorbikes, because they don't joust on motorbikes.
What is your challenge?
Oddly. Deviation.
You know, but you could joust on a motorbike for fun.
You could do a lot of things, and I know other things you can do on a motorbike.
If you'd said he had deviated from the subject of paper tearing, I would have granted it.
But you didn't say that.
No, you didn't. So I leave it with Clement and tell him he has 40 seconds.
Do you think I might just embarrass
everybody?
Yes, would you
like to do it in just a minute? Would you like to do it in just a minute or outside?
I would just like to tell you that Sir Henry Colville did meet his death at the age of 70 jousting on a motorbike.
There we are, you see.
And he was the grandfather of today's BBC announcer.
Really?
That went well, didn't it?
Anyway, I disagree with Kenneth's challenge, so you keep the subject, Clement, and there are 40 seconds on paper tearing starting now.
It is important to get the right sort of paper, because vellum, cardboard and tissue are clearly wrong in that you can't break them up into the sort of shapes which paper tearers' audiences demand from any performer who has talent. And this, naturally, is what people are looking for. Give me, they shout as they enter the music hall or theatre, a man with the ability. It's well after a minute now. You really might press your
voice. It isn't well after a minute. There are still 12 and a half seconds left. Kenneth Williams.
Well, I had 13.
Well, I thought deviation when he said it's well after a minute. I thought that was deviating from
paper. It was definitely deviating, yes. And you have the subject now of paper tearing and 12 and a half seconds left, starting now.
Well, I press my buzzer simply because I am loyal to the panellists on this game. I know nothing about paper tearing apart from being...
Peter Jones.
Nothing about it. He should shut up.
Well put. Very well put. He's very clever, you know. He listens. Yeah, he listens.
Yeah. He's heard it before, hasn't he?
Yes.
So what is your challenge?
I mean, you know.
Deviation.
No, he wasn't actually deviating for the subject, so he keeps it with 5 seconds left, starting now.
Cut the coupon out of the Times and fill in the competition and you
Clement Freud has challenged you.
Deviation has got nothing to do with paper tearing.
No, you see, cutting it out.
Oh, you're right. He listens well, you know. Marvellous for his age, isn't he?
Clement Freud with half a second to go. No, I've been told, actually, an eighth of a second to go. Paper tearing starting now.
Oh, paper tearing.
So, Clement Freud, speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point, and he's got quite a few in the round. He's catching up on June Whitfield, our leader. He's only one behind her now. Kenneth Williams is in a good third position. Peter Jones is fourth. And, Kenneth, your turn to begin. The subject, James I of England. Knowing your love of history, Ian Messiter would like you to tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now.
Mother and son. Both beheaded. A frightening thing, but undoubtedly one of the few people about whom this can be said. And on the great progress from Holyrood, he stopped a while at York. And according to one historian, asking why this crowd pressed so hard about him, he was informed they are curious about their new monarch, and he is reputed to have replied, well, if I just realised it was when he said, if they're that curious, I'll take me breeches off. But then I thought, well, that's really not for family entertainment, you know.
No, it isn't.
But it is a fact that he did say it on the Progress from York. It's an historical fact, and I think those things can be enormously enlightening.
Yeah, but you weren't challenged before he got his breeches
off.
Yes,
who challenged
him? It was Peter Jones.
Yeah, hesitation.
Undoubtedly, you're right, Peter.
Yes, well, I was wondering whether what I was going to say was suitable. You see what I mean?
Yes.
I was thinking of the genteel element.
That doesn't
understand?
Usually stop you.
Peter, there are 19 seconds left for James the First of England, starting now.
James the First of England was also James the Sixth of Scotland, which gave a new meaning to the phrase king of one and half a dozen of the other. He was well known for his abhorrence of tobacco, and he wrote a long piece which was performed...
Well, Peter Jones has now moved into third place ahead of Kenneth Williams, and there's only about 1 point that separates each of them, with June Whitfield still in the lead. Peter, it's your turn to begin, and the subject is frightening noises. We've had a few of those in just a minute, but will you talk on the subject for just a minute, if you can, starting now?
I think perhaps the most frightening noise that any species can hear...
Kenneth Williams.
Hesitation.
Well, I'd hardly started.
I know, it's a bit mean.
Whether you started or not is hardly the point. We're not here running a charitable organisation for your disabilities, for some old derelict to sit there, and we've all got to worry about... Oh, we hardly started. Every bone creaking in its joints. You can see, look at the mine. You can see it working. Look.
I still think it was a bit tough, quite...
I withdraw it, then.
No,
I withdraw
it.
Yes,
it
you're a fair man, Nicholas. I know you're a very good chairman. He's one of the very few impartial chairmen we've got in this country. So I will submit to your...
No, it was a correct challenge. I just think it was a little bit tough so early in the round. But so
he'd
as
gone
it was
on
a correct...
quite a long time for a man of his age.
Yes, considering his age, you know.
He'd gone on for 5.5 seconds.
Yes.
And Kenneth, there are 54.5 seconds for frightening noises, which we include you, I should imagine, starting now.
The most frightening noise I used to experience in my youth was unquestionably the air raid siren, which warned of the approaching Heinkels.
Clement Freud challenged.
Not necessarily.
But it
no,
could.
Surely he means zeppelins.
Well, as they say, touche. He's.
I don't have to come here and be insulted. You understand what that meant, Nicholas, don't you?
Yeah, I know. You could have stayed at home and been insulted.
Yeah.
I will stand by that and say that it could have warned of the approaching Heinkels, among other things. So, Kenneth, it wasn't deviation. You have 43 seconds on frightening noises, starting now.
Nora Alicia once took me into the garden of her lovely, rambling old house and showed me the haunt of the screech owl. And she said, if you hang about here long enough, you'll actually hear the things. I said, well, we'll get night. We can really night dark. Yes.
Clement Freud's challenge.
Repetition.
Of what?
What I couldn't understand.
I think
all sounded very similar.
I can quite agree, it just sounded very similar, so I will give it to you and say that you have 28 seconds on frightening noises, starting now.
When James the Seventh was beheaded twice, once as James the First and the second time Sixth, the frightening noises reverberated around
Kenneth
both.
Williams has challenged.
Well, deviation, you know very well that no such thing happened.
James the Seventh. No, yes. There was never James the Seventh.
He's trying to mislead this delightful house here.
He's trying to be very clever, which he was actually achieving, but it wasn't within the rules of just a minute. So you had the subject back with 20 seconds left, starting now.
When I was on safari, I'll never forget the roar of the lion. And as I raised the rifle to my shoulder and they said to me, take courage, one between the eyes will do it. I thought, no, I cannot tolerate this appalling row any longer. And I said, do you mind keeping the voice down, you see? They took no notice whatsoever, and I thought we might as well be in business.
So, Kenneth Williams, speaking as a whistle wind, gained that extra point, and we leave him in that situation. You will never know what happened when he faced that lion. But a very interesting situation with the score. June Whitfield, Clement Freud, Kenneth Williams, all at the end of that round have 8 points each. And Peter Jones is only 3 points behind. June, will you begin the next round? The subject is cooking. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
I hardly like to talk about the subject of cooking with such an eminent chef, raconteur, writer of cookery books and everything else sitting opposite me, but perhaps I could ask him about the stuffing my breast today. It did give me a little trouble because I read the recipe, you see, and I bought half a lamb, which is quite a nice thing to do, but you do get some odd bits with it, and one of the bits you get is breast. I read a very nice way of cooking it, which said you make a stuffing and you stuff it and you roll it up, and it was such a tiny piece of meat that by the time I'd finished, there was really not a lot, you know. I did all this, but ended up with a thing the size of a very small tennis ball, surrounded by fat, with a rather nasty inside. Oh. Did I go wrong?
Well, June Whitfield started with the subject of cooking and after 1 minute and 23 seconds still had the subject of cooking, having committed every crime in the game of just a minute. She repeated herself 7 times, hesitated 27 times, and deviated. No, I don't think you deviated, June, so I will give you 2 points for that because you kept going without being interrupted.
You're more than generous.
We're back to Clement Freud to begin, and the subject is crossing the channel by balloon. So, as we know, this is something you do regularly. Clement, would you tell us something about it in just a minute, starting now?
One of the most important things to achieve when you cross the channel on a balloon.
Peter Jones, the channel.
Hesitation.
Yes, I think you really did hesitate.
Repetition of hesitation.
I thought for a man of my age, I kept going pretty well.
Extremely well. Peter,
well, your age, no,
I was aiming off a bit.
Yes.
Stop showing you up. You know, it seemed to be a sort of
there
speed
are
at which
3 seconds, Peter, for
large,
you to talk on the subject
sort
of crossing the channel by balloon.
When
shut up,
Peter.
You
I mean, I
you're dribbling on like a man of your own age.
Wrong.
Ah, love him.
Kenneth, would you please put Clement Freud down? You don't know where he's been.
Exactly
there are 53 where. Seconds for crossing the channel by balloon, Peter, starting now.
Well, it's wise not to make an appointment on the other side because you're entirely dependent on the direction of the wind and the speed of it, of course. So then, once you have inflated your balloon or, alternatively, lit the canister underneath which bellows the hot air into the sphere, which I believe is made of rubber or some similar.
Clement Freud, challenge.
Deviation of the sphere is not made of rubber.
I think you're right. And so you have the subject, and 30 seconds are left for crossing the channel by balloon, starting now.
The Cliffs of Dover are a very good starting place. Because
Peter Jones has challenged.
Not if you're trying to get to England.
I think the only thing we do is a bonus point to Peter Jones. And leave the subject to Clement Freud because he didn't deviate and there are 26 seconds left starting now.
And a catapult is useful in order to achieve the height required to make the crossing.
Peter Jones has challenged.
No, you can't possibly use a catapult to push a balloon up.
Well,
I don't believe it.
I imagine if you actually designed a special catapult, it would work.
Well, I can design a special balloon made of rubber, if you like.
Yeah, but you
but
tried
a catapult,
to
catapult, you can't.
I just thought there was rather a lot of hot air going on at the moment.
There always is. No, I think he was establishing that this was a possibility, therefore he wasn't deviating. There are 20 seconds left, starting now.
Sir Henry Colville never, ever went up in a balloon because at that time they were not a very popular means of transportation, although, of course, there had been the odd human being who had used it across Salisbury Plain on a number of occasions from one end of a fen to the other. But old...
It's a very close contest this week, and I'll now give you the final score. Peter Jones finished just 1 point behind Kenneth Williams, Peter in fourth place, Kenneth in third place. He was two behind our guest, who did extraordinarily well coming in second place, so let's give a round of applause now to June Whitfield. But that last little flourish from Clement Freud made him our winner, so now we greet this week's winner, Clement Freud. If you heard any funny noises just at that moment and gurgles, it was because Peter Jones and June Whitfield both dropped their buzzers down a hole on the desk. It just remains for me to say thank you very much for tuning in, and also for those who've come to the studio. We hope that you enjoyed the show. From all of us here, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The programme was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by John Brough.